So my name's Mick, and I'm the vicar here, and I'd like to speak to you for us for a little while. We'll put some pictures on the screen, some images and a little video clip I want to look at. And then we're going to ask at the end of this, what is God saying to us this morning? Those of us who are regular in church, members of the church, those who've just started coming to church, and particularly on a morning like this, those who've just maybe come for the first time or to see these little ones joining the family and being baptized. What is God saying to us? I believe God's always speaking to us, whether we're churchgoers or not churchgoers. God is always speaking to us about something that brings goodness into our lives. And as Alan said, we're in a season at the moment of vision in the month of November. The way this church operates in the month of September, it's welcome. We welcome lots of new people into the church after the summer break. People come to Sheffield for jobs and university and all kinds of stuff. October, which has just gone, is a month of Thanksgiving, and where we say thank you to God. We had recently had our Thanksgiving Sunday, where we make a financial gift to say thank you to God for no other reason than to say thank you. Here's something precious in my life. It's called my wallet or my purse or my bank balance. And I want to give you some money, God, because I want to say thank you with something that is important to me. And there's still, for your church family, there's still time to give today or over the next few Sundays. And then this month is the month of vision, when we look at what is the purpose. Vision means purpose. What is the purpose for my life, for this church community, rather than just meandering on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We believe in this church that God has a purpose for us. And so we take this month just to think about our purpose. And then it's Christmas, December, we have a party and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But when we think about this word vision, I think, and there's an image on the screen now, we all need times like this, don't we? We need a time when we can just sit from all the busyness of life and all that. You know, there's moments when sometimes when you sit and you go, I'm relaxed. I'm so not relaxed. Relax. Put some whale music on, light a candle. You know what I mean? Relax. When you have those moments when you just stop and think about your life, your future, your family, your finances, something happens. And I firmly believe that's when God starts to break in and start to give a vision or a purpose to your life. And next week, we'll look more at the vision for this church on our Vision Sunday. But today is more a personal thing, a personal vision. What is God saying to you about your life and your family and your future? And we all need vision. That's how we move forward in life. And there's lots of stuff around at the moment about people casting their vision for the future of our nation, or even an image like this, the future of our planet. And, you know, the Extinction Rebellion and lots of stuff happening there. And it is important we think about these things. If there's going to be any future for James and Nellie when they grow up and become adults, what's the legacy we are leaving them? And we all need to think seriously about that. This is not a talk on the eco-future of the planet, but it is part of what we need to think about. You know, we kind of say, I'm playing my part, I buy eco-washing powder while still booking my 4 international flights a year. You know, what are we actually doing about these things? That's why you need to sit sometimes and say, well, what are we going to do about this or that as a family or as an individual? I don't know if you realize, but in 5 weeks' time, on the 12th of December, there's an election. There's an election. What fun before Christmas. What joy will fill our hearts as we go around down to the election polling station with our scarves on, singing carols merrily as we go down there. It'll be wonderful, wouldn't it? We'll have carolers outside the polling stations. And my wife Trish and I were down in London less than 2 weeks ago at an event, like a conference, and we had the privilege of being in Westminster in the House of Parliament. We had a meal there in the House of Lords dining room. It's not that good, to be honest with you. It's not that good. We should have gone in the Commons, but they only have bread and dripping in there, so because they're commoners. But we went in the House of Lords. That was a joke. Don't take that serious. But we were in there, and I spoke to someone. And I said, I'll not say who it is, a known person. I said, I'm here. I'll go and ask them. I mean, I might not be here again. So I said, where do you think all this is going? And this well-known person said, no idea. We really don't know. So if you meet someone who says, I'm absolutely certain what's going to happen, the outcome of the election, smile at them and turn your back and walk away, because nobody's got the faintest idea what's going to happen on the 12th of December. But I believe that God does. Our future is in the vision that God has for us, not necessarily a political party. Though we live in a country where we need to have democracy, and we do have democracy, and so please vote. Whatever you do, vote. Go out and make your contribution. But sometimes we feel a little bit like this, don't we, this next image here. Sometimes in our lives, do you ever feel like this? Like you're in the middle of this busyness and all this stuff that's happening. I'll put Andrew Marr on and see if he knows. He doesn't know. I'll put Newsnight on and watch Emily Maitlis. Do you know she went to school in Sheffield? Did you know that? So we're claiming her as a Sheffield lass. We'll claim anybody in this city. And so maybe they'll know. And sometimes you're in the midst of it. What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to my family? And it's as if there's nothing I can do to change anything. Now, I need to tell you this morning, as we just move on, we're going to look at what the Bible says. That is a lie. When you hear that and think that, that is a lie, and it's a lie which is perpetrated on this hypothesis, which is this, that creation, that life is fixed. It's fixed. And nothing changes. It is as it is. All you've got to do is find your place and stay in it and hang on for grim life and do your best. Because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's a kind of a way of looking at life that says, I can't do anything about this. And it's a lie. Because there is another philosophy, and this comes from a Christian standpoint, which says this. And this is based on, for those of you who know this stuff, the Bible's in two bits. There's the second bit, which is when Jesus came, the New Testament. There's the first bit, which is before Jesus came, the Old Testament, which is a bit bigger. When you read that, the Hebrew, which is came out of the Jewish tradition, the Hebrew scriptures say this, that creation is not fixed, it's being formed. It's being formed constantly. And therefore, if you look at it that way, you have a part to play. Then we get into the New Testament, when Jesus came. And one of the things Jesus said was, I am the new creation. I have come to bring a new creation. And you, as you follow me, are part of this new creation. And you, by your life and by your actions, which we'll come to in a minute, you have a part to play in this new creation. So it's not this like, there is no destiny apart from just hang in there and do your best. Try and hang on till you get your pension. Spend it on a Winnebago and tour Scotland. That kind of philosophy. It isn't that. Every single day we can contribute. We can make a difference in our lives, in our family, in our jobs, in our workplaces. And so that community and creation is better for the little ones like James and Nellie. So that is a wrong philosophy. I want to say that before we go on. But I want to look at what the Bible actually says. Now, if you're not used to reading the Bible, it's going to be on the screen. And I'm going to read this little bit from the Bible, and I'm just going to make three quick takeaways, and then we're off. We'll have some coffee. One last song, and then some coffee. So that's what's going to happen. On the principle of that this morning, creation is being formed. You can play a part because God works. God actually works. Thank you for that. You can come anytime. God works. So we're going to look at this bit in the Bible called Romans. And this was written to a church a couple of thousand years ago by a man called Paul. And this church was in... Keep up with me. There we go. That's why they called it Romans. It was written to a small church in Rome. And these people in this church were followers of Jesus. And they were trying to figure out exactly what me and you were trying to figure out, which is life. They had jobs, they had families, they had futures, they had money challenges. They were trying to figure out life. And this guy called Paul wrote them a letter. It's called the letter to the Romans. Keep going. The first bit, the first 11 chapters of this letter say, this is life following Jesus. This is the life of a Christian. And he spells it all out. And then he gets to this chapter 12 and he says, right, now put it into practice. And this is the bit we're going to read now. So this is what he says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So this is an ordinary thing for ordinary people, not just for vicars and archbishops and, you know, super intellectuals. It's for ordinary people, even people who follow Sheffield Wednesday. Thank you, Andy. That ordinary, you know? Ordinary everyday people. I was an ordinary everyday person from Sheffield in my 20s, never went to church, nowhere near a church, until I met a friend at work who is a Christian, and I saw how his faith changed his life. And do you know what? I thought, I want some of that. And so did my wife with my friend's wife, they were Christians. And I was an ordinary person with no church background. But this extraordinary God breaks into the ordinary. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And he goes on to say this. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Do you know we do that, don't we? We go to work. You know, I did this job as a vicar. I had a proper job. I worked for BT as an engineer and for 20 years. And I remember when I first started as a young engineer, I worked with a lot of, it was a male culture then, changed a lot now. But I'd go into these kind of mess rooms where we had food at lunchtime. The language was ripe. The kind of stuff they were reading was interesting. And I remember when I first became a Christian going in and thinking, I hate this. I don't like it. And the pressure was on to join in with the culture. I've said before here that when I then moved out of I was still an engineer, went into management. People in the office there, borrow a few pencils from work, a few rubbers, a bit of paper, a bit of this, bit of that. I mean, it's all in the store cupboard anyway, so I might as well use it. I mean, it's called theft, basically. And I didn't like it. I used to do it, but then something happened in me. The culture was pressing me into this. But I knew then, even then, that this faith is real because God is saying, this is not the way I want you to live. So don't get squeezed. Instead, he says, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. You see, when your inside life gets changed, your outside life gets changed as well. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Let's move on to the next one. It's the final bit. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. And do you know that? I was thinking about this week. One of the things we've seen in Parliament and with this whole political discussion is a level of immaturity. Isn't it? It's like kids in the playground. Well, actually, it's worse than that. But it's more like men in suits in the playground. There's a level of immaturity. And when somebody speaks and says, let's have a level of maturity in our debate, often they're shouted down. And we need a level of maturity, and I think God gives us that. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. And he finishes off by saying this. God brings it all to you. The only accurate way, I love this, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not what we are and what we do for him. So, three quick takeaways this morning. And the first one is this. Can we put this on the screen? Keep going. Take your everyday, ordinary life and place it before God. I wonder if you've ever thought about doing that. One of the issues with the church and the reason less people come to church these days in our nation is that people have got this idea that there's my ordinary life and then on Sunday there's my religious life. I put my best suit on and a tie. These are the ladies. That was a joke. Work with me on this, please. I've got to get dressed up. I've got to be careful when I go there. Got to be quiet. When Trish and I first started going to church with our kid, we had two little ones then. It's what I call the leaking tire syndrome. You know, we went in this church and it was like the kids made a noise and it was shh. Like watching you. Shh, quiet. Put them in the corner. Being the kind of person I was, I didn't take to that kindly. I remember once in a service going, what? I can't hear you. The vicar was at the front talking. I've changed a lot. The Holy Spirit's changed me. I went, I can't hear you. Are you saying keep my children quiet? This is in a service. Because I was so annoyed by it. They're kids. Kids make a noise. We love kids here. We like kids making a noise. It means they're alive and breathing, which is helpful, isn't it? You know, it is really helpful. We love it. But actually, it's the ordinariness here. Take your everyday ordinary life and place it before God. What is stirring in your heart at the moment? What is God saying to you? What's stirred with you? Anything at all? I'm going to give you 30 seconds each with the person next to you. I'm not going to give you any more prompts. Just talk away. Off you go. I'm going to bring you back in a minute. What is God saying to you at the moment? Okay. Keep that in your mind. The first takeaway to go away with this morning on this baptism morning is that God works, yes, but he takes our ordinary and makes it extraordinary. The second takeaway is this. That Bible passage said this, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us. And from my own life, as I said, I was not in church or a Christian up to the age of 28, 29. We started to follow God, my wife and I, and our friends took us to church, to things like this. Not this church, but another church in Sheffield, a large church. And I didn't understand probably 90% of what was going on. But what I did understand is every time I went, something stirred in my life. I didn't understand the songs. Actually, you know, they had a choir and robes, and it was all a bit kind of like slightly strange to me. A lad off a council estate. I didn't quite get this, but I was sharp enough to understand that something was happening in my life. And looking back, I see now that then I was beginning to understand who I was because God was working in my life. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us. And looking back, that's why on Thanksgiving Sunday for our church family, just a few Sundays ago, Trish and I were delighted to just give financially, just give sacrificially, because when we've looked back in our lives, God has just provided for us and been there for us, and he's done stuff for us and for our children and now for our grandchildren. And so to give some pounds and, you know, to give money back to God is no big deal for us because we know he'll provide for us. So the second takeaway is, first one is the ordinary becomes extraordinary with God. Remember it. The second one is, if you want to know who you are, I would really say to you, get to know God in your life. Don't run away from God. Don't put God off. Don't put this church thing off. Keep sticking with it. Find somebody who's a Christian and ask them, how does it work? Could you take me to your church? Or if you're in a church and it's boring and dead, leave it and go somewhere else. Get to work the God stuff out in your life. And the third takeaway is this. As we look at vision, this is what I would say to go away with this morning. Do something great. Life is not fixed and you can't do anything. And I'm just hanging in there. I'm hoping my best. I'm just really hoping and crossing my fingers I don't get a serious illness or I don't get cancer or I don't lose my job. I'm just, I don't know if I pray because I don't know if I believe in God, but I don't want this to happen to me. It doesn't work like that. Seize the day. Take hold of your day. Seize your life. With God with you, you can do something great. When I was a manager with BT, I never thought in a million years I would be speaking for a living and writing for a living and telling people about Jesus for a living. Even when I became a Christian, I thought we'd just go to church and I'd carry on in management and I'd get a great job, I'd get a better job, we'd move from Sheffield, I'd get promoted, we'd go to Manchester or London, and that would be it. And I'd be a Christian, I'd go to church. But God had other plans. And I want to finish by saying this. God has plans for every single one of us here. Even you in the balcony. You're nearer to God, so you're going to get his plans quicker than the people down here. God has a plan. And it may be a new job. It may be a business he wants you to start. It may be children on the way. It may be, I don't know what it is. It may just be baking some cakes for someone and taking them round and saying, I have nothing else to do and offer you, but here are some cakes. God loves you. Have a great day. That may well be something great God's calling you to do. But please, 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 on this day of baptisms, don't be passive with your life. Do not. It's too short. It's too precious to just be passive and watch Netflix all the time. I love Netflix. But let's get going, because we can change the situation. We can change the situation we're in. And you can. Your family, your friendships, your life, your business, your job, your career, this city, our nation. It can change. And that's the message this morning. Why? Because God works.